What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, Running Through Cancer with Run Doc Ryan. This is our very first listener spotlight. Ryan is going to share his experience with cancer, his story, kind of how it worked out, the whole deal. Ryan was recently on episode, I didn't mark what it is, but it was sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Ryan Green, and he was talking about running mechanics. So if you want to check that out, where he talks about running mechanics, again, it's sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Ryan Green, and that was the previous episode. So this one is Run Doc Ryan instead of Ryan Green, because it has to be different. So this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Run Doc Ryan. I am your host, Jeremy Jackson. Sitting right beside me, I've got
Ariana,
Joshua,
Diana,
Melissa.
All right. Using Twitter, hashtag TheSMB, you can contact us. Again, this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Run Doc Ryan. So if Ryan has any links, anything like that, we'll try to include them there on that site. Without much further ado, we're going to get right to it. Ariana?
How did you learn about athletic training?
Well, it was, so my, I started out my college career at Salisbury State University in early 90s. And so when I graduated from high school in 93, there was an athletic training camp, Kramer products. So they had camps. And so I knew about it beforehand. I knew about athletic training. I had broken my wrist in high school and was around a physical therapist a lot. And so she talked to me a little bit about it, but I really learned a lot about it that camp. So it was before my freshman year, Kramer athletic training camp at Salisbury, and which is a great experience there. I think Neil Fink was the facilitator from Kramer, and who was a big name in Kramer. I don't know if he's still with them, but big name at the time. And really just kind of exposed all these new kids to athletic training and what it meant and kind of what to expect. And so so that was kind of really my first exposure to it. We didn't have an athletic trainer in high school back then. There was a team doctor that was the doctor for everybody in our district, including the horses and the other animals as well. So we didn't have anybody specialized in athletic training. So it was definitely a different experience for me, but that's really my first exposure to it.
Gotcha. All right. So tell us your athletic training story. And then in that, you can kind of lead into the kind of the topic of the day. So
my life experience. Sure. So I went through my undergraduate program at Salisbury. It's now Salisbury University, but at the time it was Salisbury State University. And Pat Lamboni is the head athletic trainer there. And he just had a real good kind of fatherly attitude about everybody he brought into his program. And so I went through the four-year program there, physical education with a concentration in athletic training. I had some great, great experiences. Salisbury is a small school in Maryland, on the eastern shore of Maryland, and Division III school. So football, we had lacrosse, which was big, multi-year national champion, but we didn't have a lot of the big resources. So for me, it was great because I got to learn how to be very resourceful. So think about places with small budgets, high schools, colleges, and so forth. So I really had to, you know, figure out what's the thing I could do best with, you know, duct tape and popsicle sticks, so to speak. It was that kind of a budget. So things have changed, and many programs have changed, but my experience there was really tremendous. And then I had a really great opportunity to come down to Louisiana in 1997. I started my master's degree at LSU, so just neighbors to you guys, just to the east a couple hours. Went to the kinesiology department there, and my experience really was, I can look back at it now, but you know, the idea was, okay, you come down, you enroll in a academic program, but really your experience is going to be on the clinical side. You'll get your master's degree and that's all fine and dandy, but you know, really there, big Division I school, to get the clinical athletic training experience. So I worked with women's gymnastics for 2 years. And I work, you know, you work a little bit of the other sports. You help out when there's tournaments or big events as well. So I got exposed to a much larger scale. I mean, you're going from 6,000 students at Salisbury to 25,000-30,000 at LSU. I forget even what the enrollment was at the time. So very, very different experience. You know, our football stadium at Salisbury just got expanded, but before it was like just bigger bleachers on each side, glorified metal bleachers. And now, you know, at LSU, a huge stadium, Tiger Stadium, is holding, I think, bumping up near 100,000 people. So very, very different. So I decided late in my master's program, I said, you know what, I'm here, I have a great experience, I would really like to pursue a doctoral degree. So I talked to some of our folks, Jack Marucci, head athletic trainer, and I talked to our kinesiology department head and said, you know, have you guys, no, they had never had a doctoral athletic training student. And so we were kind of making things up as we went along. There's a doctoral program, of course, in kinesiology for different areas, but just combining that with the athletic training experience was going to be different. So I continued my athletic training experience with women's gymnastics. Dee Dee Bro, head coach, still there now. They just finished second nationally, just I think last week actually. So she's been there I think 40 years. I mean, she's the longest tenured coach at LSU. So the nice thing about that for me is that I had consistency in the staff I was working with, the coaching staff, the athletic training staff, and just got a great experience doing that. And during that time, when I actually came into the athletic training program here at LSU, I met a fellow named John Purdy. And Purdy was used to be the head athletic trainer, I believe, but at that time he was the head men's basketball athletic trainer. So within the first couple weeks that I was at LSU, I sat down and talked to him at the PMAC, and he was kind of telling me about his experience. He had been around the block, in athletic training, and he was a Vietnam War veteran. So he just a man with a great, great experience and vision on life. And he had a chance to work as a volunteer in the United States Olympic Committee sports medicine program. And I think he worked the Lillehammer Games in 92. So I had a chance to talk to him about that. And I said, Purdy, I said, how do you do that? And he said, well, you have to apply. So I actually went, I believe, that afternoon and sought an application and applied for it. And so this is, if you're not experienced with it, I certainly encourage students to do this and do it early, because it took me a while before I started to really kind of get into the program. But it's the United States Olympic Committee Sports Medicine Volunteer Program. They may take it for a week, 2 weeks, whatever it might be, or they may set you up with a specific governing body. And by that, I mean, you would be the athletic trainer that might be with, in my case, bobsled. Okay, so I had a chance to go for 2 weeks in 2002, I think it was, and work with the U.S. bobsled, men's bobsled team in Switzerland. So, you know, a chance for me, I'd never worked bobsled, I'd seen it on TV, but just the chance of talking to Purdy and learning about this and talking with this committee, I had just a tremendous experience. So I certainly encourage folks to check out their sports medicine volunteer program the U.S. Olympic Committee has. It's really fantastic. And so that was all during kind of my graduate studies. So I finished my master's, continue with my doctoral degree, continue working gymnastics. And in the midst of that, I said, okay, well, I'm going to continue. And they decided, well, let's move you to football. So I actually was the graduate assistant, myself and Jeff Smith, who is at Stephen F. Austin now, just north of you guys, I believe. He's the head athletic trainer at Stephen F. Austin. We were the athletic trainers, the graduate assistants for football. And that was 2001, 2002 timeframe. Just tremendous. I mean, for that, you know, we had supervising staff athletic trainers, but we really got to do a whole lot of everything, which was great. You know, travel with the teams, had great experiences there. We went to the Peach Bowl. We just went to, you know, it was just tremendous. TV games and everything that you are, you know, watching on TV, we had a chance to do. So for me, come from no athletic training experience before college to now going to one of the biggest stages in college sports was pretty tremendous. And I always value that and the colleagues that I made there. I mean, they were great and are still good friends. So considering my doctoral degree, but I had to make a transition because I realized, and you guys well know this, all the hours that athletic trainers put in, combining that with a pretty intense doctoral program can be a while. So most of the doctoral programs took maybe 4 years, maybe five. I was on the 9-year track, so I had to make a decision. And so after football, I transitioned out of kind of clinical athletic training and more into the teaching side of it. So I helped teach some athletic training classes. You guys had Ray Castle on. He and I were colleagues at LSU for a while and taught in the program together for a while. So, you know, got a clinical side for a number of years, then went to kind of the academic side for a number of years. And just really developed a love for the human body. I mean, I'm athletic myself, so, you know, having that combination, as you guys well know, if you're athletic as well and being able to take care of athletes, you kind of understand things a little bit better, I think, than somebody that's not real, that isn't athletic and so forth. So for me, it was just, it was great. So I finally finished my doctoral degree in 2006. And again, I would help maybe a little bit with some of the clinical athletic training, but had taken to more of an academic side just to finish my graduate studies. And then finished that and went up to North Carolina and was the clinical coordinator up at UNC Wilmington in Wilmington, North Carolina for just about a year, just short of a year. Good experience, good place there. But we had an opportunity, personally, family-wise, to come back to Louisiana and be where I am today and open up varsity sports. And so I think we talked about it on the last podcast, what I'm doing presently. And so I'm presently out of the true clinical, you know, clinic of athletic training. But I use my skills all the time. Varsity Sports is a specialty running store. We have three of them in South Louisiana. And so, you know, we look at body biomechanics. We do custom shoe fittings and everything we talked about last show. And so I actually have a great opportunity to continue to kind of do community outreach and use my athletic training experiences when I do talks. I'm doing, after we're done this podcast this morning, I'm going to go and do a running clinic. And I use a lot of, you know, body mechanics, and having that understanding, I think, really helps put us in a good space. So athletic training, while many people think, okay, it's just, you know, one silo of work, maybe it's you're an athletic trainer at a high school, or you're an athletic trainer at a college, or you're at a clinic and can't expand beyond kind of your, let's call them, traditional settings. You know, I've really taken my experience and put it into kind of different, unique settings that there's not a whole lot of athletic trainers in the specialty running retail world. So I've been fortunate to be able to use those skills.
All right. So then tell us about your, where did cancer come in?
Yeah. So, let's see, it would have been, so my background's running. Okay. We talked about that last show. My background's running. What I do right now is all running related. So I had always wanted to run a marathon. So I was training, in 2000 to run a marathon, the Mardi Gras marathon here in the New Orleans area. And I had worked football that football season, the fall of 2000. So I'm training, get ready for the races in February. And so I think the nice thing about athletic trainers and, you know, us as healthcare professionals, we should be aware of our bodies first. We should have a real good understanding of be in tune with our bodies. And especially then, now, if you're athletic, you know, then you have kind of a double whammy in that you are really in tune with things. As an athlete, you feel how things are. And then if something's not quite right, as an athletic trainer, you're thinking, okay, well, why is this the case? And so I'm training. I did the marathon. It was my first one, had a great experience doing it. And ironically, I did it with Team in Training, which is the fundraising arm of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And it's all over the country. So cancer-related organization. And so I did fundraising. My family affected by cancer. My cousin had died of cancer. You know, I had family members that were afflicted by cancer. So I wanted to do this as kind of a tribute to them. So I did the race. Well, I guess about a week or so after that, I started to notice some tenderness down in my groin, on the left side of my groin. And I thought, well, you know, I just finished a marathon. I didn't know what to expect after the race, and what kind of after effects they would be. But I said, you know what, this is a little bit strange. Excuse me, coffee break. And I, you know, still being in the athletic training room, we had a great medical staff. Our team physician was Dr. Jeff Burnham, who's a dear friend and a great colleague. And I went and talked to him. I said, Doc, I got something that's been about 2 weeks, not quite right. I said, can you take a look? So this was the beginning of our spring break. This was a Monday morning. And I remember it vividly. And so I went into his office and saw him, and he did his exam. So I had tenderness, actually was localized in the left testicle area. And the thing that got me thinking, it kind of worried me a lot, it was at Christmas, I had received a book from a friend that's from the Houston area. And it was Lance Armstrong's book, It's Not About the Bike. And I had been a Lance Armstrong fan just because of his what he was doing athletically at the time, and then also his mission to help folks with cancer. So I read it in like no time at all. So I knew everything about it and knew kind of his symptoms. I said, Doc, something's not right. Just kind of kept the book in the back of my mind and read about Livestrong and what they do. And so I mentioned it to him, and he said, well, after my exam, I want you to go see Dr. Jimmy Morris, who's a urologist in Baton Rouge, great urologist, and his staff. So I went on Tuesday morning. I had his exam Tuesday morning, had an ultrasound on Tuesday afternoon. So I had surgery scheduled for Wednesday late morning. So Dr. Morris had determined that I had testicular cancer. And so at that point, I'm 25 years old, beginning of spring break, you know, we get a little bit of downtime. I'm thinking, okay, great. You know, I'm going to have a chance to hang out. I think we had a whole lot of football going on, excuse me, at the time. Just finished a marathon. So of course I think I'm healthy, you know, athletic trainers don't get hurt, right? Or when we do, I knew one of the podcasts you had too, you know, athletic trainers, we don't get hurt. And if we do, we sometimes are not sure how to take care of ourselves. I thought, how is this happening? And, so I, you know, it happened so fast between Monday with Dr. Burnham, Tuesday with Dr. Morris and his urology staff, and scheduling surgery for Wednesday morning. So my diagnosis was March 27th, and I had surgery March 29th, which happened to be my mom's birthday. And so I remember getting the diagnosis. It was late. It was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, excuse me. And nobody was in the parking lot. It was just a very, very empty feeling. But I thought, you know what, if I can approach this, take a little bit of the emotional side out of it, kind of like when you have an athlete that goes down, okay? You have an attachment to that athlete. An athlete blows out their knee. You have to think, okay, what steps do I have to take to get them better, you know, and sort of take the emotion out of it and talk to that athlete in a very forthright way, and how can I help make you better, you know? You want to still have sympathy for that athlete, but, you know, you have a job to do. So I kind of thought like that. Eventually, once the tears and everything stopped flowing, I had called my family to tell them, and my dad had scheduled a flight down, pardon me, I think for the next day. I was like, all right, what do I need to do? And so it was like, you know, I need to have surgery. What do I need to do diet-wise? What are follow-ups? And so it really happened in a very short period of time, which at the time, like, oh my gosh, I need to think about this. I need to do this. But, you know, I had surrounded myself in all those years leading up to it with, you know, great healthcare professionals, and Dr. Burnham being a tremendous one. Dr. Morris, I had had contact with over the years through athletics. So I felt completely comfortable with, all right, what do you guys think? You're the professionals, what do you think? So, I mean, everything happened in a very short period of time. I didn't have a lot of time to think about it. And so I had surgery removed. They removed the testicle. Dr. Billings was the gentleman that actually did the surgery, remove the testicle, remove everything around it. And fortunately, everything was kind of contained. And I was, at that point, I was considered, you know, everything had been removed. So I still, at that point, I still had one testicle. So one of the questions that I had is that, all right, I'm 25. I'd like to get married someday. I'd like to have children. What do I need to, what was I going to need to do? This is before the surgery. And so again, Dr. Morris just kind of calmed things down and gave me the facts and what we needed to do. And, you know, and that's, again, the great thing is that if you have people that kind of are professionals, know what to do, they will steer you in the right direction. And I think us as, you know, healthcare professionals, as athletic trainers, we need to do kind of the same thing with the people we work with, And so for me, I kind of understood both sides, being the patient and then also being the medical practitioner, what needed to be done. And so had the surgery, and then my follow-ups were fortunately good. Chest x-rays, CT scans. I think the worst thing about the CT scans was having to drink the barium, which is just an awful, awful liquid to, but you know what I thought too, if that's going to help determine if I, if cancer has spread and kind of keep me on the straight and narrow and healthy, I'll do it. It's the least I can do. So for me, and all my subsequent follow-ups and checks, and the confidence in Dr. Morris with those follow-ups, he's like, you know what? You're an athletic trainer. You understand this. You're an athlete as well. Let's, you know, we'll do the tests, but I don't think we need to do any chemotherapy or radiation or anything like that. So I was really fortunate in that it was contained into a smaller area. But I also think too, and I tell everybody this, I've spoken to men's groups, I've spoken to other cancer groups, early detection was the key to kind of help me. Absolutely. You know, I could have said, you know what, this tenderness is post-marathon related. I shouldn't worry about it. I shouldn't go and see somebody. I'm good. I'm 25, right? I'm a male. I'm 25. Nothing's going to happen to me. But because I went early, and Dr. Morris said, because you came early, had this taken care of, everything's going to be fine. You're really going to be good. And so, you know, I had post-surgery recovery, you know, stitches and so forth, couldn't move around quite as well. And so I had, you know, again, the sports medicine staff at LSU was tremendous support for me, because my family is all up in New Jersey. So I was down here and had to get some support. So they were great. And so, you know, years following this now, I use that experience to, you know, if I have a chance to go and learn or have a, you know, volunteer for something, I'm like, you know what, I have kind of a second chance to do all these things too. And I think, you know, in Lance's book, he says, you know, those that have cancer, we're the lucky ones, because we have had a kind of life-threatening experience, and a lot of times have a second chance to make things right. And not that for me, I've been very fortunate. I've had a very good life up until that cancer diagnosis. Well, I've had an even better life after that. You know, I'm married, have two kids, have a wonderful family, great job, great situation setting. So that's the thing that I took away from it, from my cancer diagnosis, is that, you know, when I have a chance to go and interact or talk with a group, whether it's students, whether it's those that are older than me, and kind of talk about my story and what it has kind of meant for me personally, professionally, I jump on the chance. You know, so it really, it was scary, but it's been good.
All right. Yeah, like you said, we talked about sometimes we just don't know what to do, but luckily you went in early, got it taken care of, and so now you live to tell the tale.
I do. Yeah. And I, you know, I think, you know, I think too, just we, and I say we, I'm generalizing here. I think as sports medicine, as healthcare professionals, athletic trainers, we kind of take for granted the knowledge that we have, you know, and the resources that we have around us. And sometimes are afraid to call on those resources. And so when I kind of started to see over those couple weeks that things weren't quite right, and I contacted Dr. Burnham and then the other folks that I had, it's like I went and started pushing every button that I had for that panel, that board that I had built up of resources over the years. And I said, you know what, this is threatening me. I'm going to pull every string and everything I have to make sure that things go the right direction. So, you know, I think it's just, we just need to kind of make sure that we are, you know, we set a good net around us. You know, if something happens to us or we need to help somebody else, I mean, I think athletic trainers, we're in a great position to set up a great network, because we have so many contacts with so many folks. It's really awesome.
Okay, so we're going to transition a little bit to the listener spotlight questions. Tell me about your most memorable moment as an athletic trainer.
Wow. Probably the first football season at LSU. I was working gymnastics, but I was able to be on the field for this. Our football team was ranked number, so this is 1997, fall 97. Our football team was ranked number 13, and Florida Gators were ranked number 1. So they were coming to our place on a Saturday night to play. And so SEC football is big, okay? Game days are big. Night games are bigger, night games in Tiger Stadium in Death Valley are the biggest, most raucous situation I've ever been in. And so we played Florida, and we wound up beating them. So number 13 beat number one. And so the field got flooded with fans coming off. The goalposts got ripped down. And I'm thinking to myself, I come from a little college, and from there a little high school before that. And now I'm in this just grand stage of college athletics. And one of the first games that I'm at, we beat the number one team. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, if my graduate experience is half of this going forward, I'm going to be set. And it was, I mean, it really, really was. But that was probably my most memorable experience there. One other that I have to comment on too is that last year, and I think Ray talked about this, but last year I had the chance to go and work the finish line of the Boston Marathon, the medical tent area, with Ray and other Mark Larson and Irene Davis and other great healthcare professionals. And so for me, I had run Boston twice. And so as a participant, it's a great event. So now to be on the other side and have a chance to really see what goes on behind the scenes was just a, you know, last year I equated it to, you know, people that are Sandlot baseball players, and now they have the chance to not only go to the World Series, but they have tickets to sit in the dugout, you know, for those games. That's what it felt like to me, is going from just a runner to now being at the finish line for one of the biggest marathons that there is, was just tremendous. And then I had a chance to meet Meb Keflezighi, who the year before that had won Boston. He's won New York City Marathon. He got silver at the Athens Games. Probably the best distance runner that the U.S. I know definitely has now, but maybe ever, arguably is. I had a chance to meet him and give him a finish line hug. And it's just so for me, that was, I felt like a kid in a candy store, but I still had to maintain kind of my professional demeanor a little bit. But look, let's face it, as athletic trainers, we're all fans too. You know, we're in it because we enjoy taking care of people, but we probably like sports. And if we don't, shame on us, but most of us probably like sports. So that was an awesome experience too. So I had one from years ago and then one from, you know, very, very recent. So those are probably my two biggest moments.
What would you say is one life lesson you have learned?
Don't be afraid to meet people. And I take that because personally and professionally, I have had some of the greatest experiences just because of the people I have gotten to know, and just really make good connections with them. And I don't just mean, hey, you know, exchange a business card, shake a hand, and you're gone. I mean, really get to meet people, really sit down, talk to them, find out what they're about. Because you may start talking to somebody on one level, but you may, as you talk to them, you may discover something a little bit deeper that you guys have a really close connection with or a common thread with. And I think that is really, you know, that is a big lesson I've learned. In the day and age of now social media, everything is just very, very shallow and skin deep, you know, and people, if they post something, you know, they post it and it might give some detail, but, you know, it's tough to have a true deep conversation, you know, on the electronic airwaves. So having interpersonal communication and not being afraid to meet people, I think is something that I'm trying to impress upon my children, but also, you know, students that I come in contact with and other folks, just really try to talk to them. I think conversation is a lost art. And so I would certainly encourage folks to just don't be afraid to meet folks. If you're a high school student and you have Dr. Mark Merrick come in, you know, from the Katie, you know, like you guys had, don't be afraid to talk to him. You know, he's a person. He puts his pants on one leg at a time, you know. So don't, you know, you never know what you're going to learn from that person or understand from that person. So that's what I would say, is don't be afraid to talk to people and really have a conversation with them.
Great life lesson there. All right, so the next question was, give one piece of advice to athletic trainers, but I think you'd probably just say the same.
I would. I think that, you know, I think that we're in a great position. You know, I kind of look at athletic trainers as the spokes of a wheel, and we are a great hub of information because, you know, there's that phrase, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. You know, well, I think we're a jack of all trades, but we're a master of most of them. And I think we're seen as a great, great resource for folks to come to. And then we have spokes off of that hub of the wheel that we can contact, you know, orthopods, you know, I don't know, just a bunch of other healthcare professionals as well, that we have that great network. And I think that's what comes from really getting to know people and have that conversation is, how can I feel confident in somebody else? Well, I've gotten to know them. I know what they're about. And so I think that as athletic trainers, we should put ourselves in that position to kind of be the center of that wheel.
All right. Three people you would like to thank and why?
Do mom and dad count as one?
Sure.
Okay. Of course, my parents. I mean, like I said earlier, I've had up until my cancer diagnosis, I've had a really good, fortunate, really good life. You know, I've been given great opportunities to just do tremendous things. So that would be, you know, that would be first and foremost, and you know, so my family, you know, there, my sister included in that, of course, as well. My wife has been a tremendous support for me through the years, for sure. Many, many opportunities, you know, as you know, a lot of times you're getting called off to do things, and having the support of your spouse is huge. And I think the other one, and he's not an athletic trainer. He is a instructor at LSU. It's probably Dr. Tommy Karam. He has probably been one of the biggest influences in my life, professionally, personally, spiritually, everything. And so probably he teaches at LSU. He's been there for probably as long as LSU has been around. And just a great, great person. And so those I think are probably the three people or groups of people that I really want to thank for helping me get to where I am. And, you know, you limited me to three, but we'll go with those three, but there's so many more that I could thank. But yeah, we'll keep it to that.
All right. And then you actually told me you had a piece of news you would like to say, and then I know you got to hit the road. So
yeah, I got to get to a clinic, but anyway, yeah. So I have, like I said, you never know what you're going to, who you're going to meet, and why that's important. And so the past, since 2001, when I started working at Varsity Sports, I've had just tremendous opportunities, made great connections throughout the country in the specialty running world and the running medicine world. It's been tremendous. Varsity Sports has been great, great to me. Jenny Peters and management and ownership have been fantastic to me. But also through that time, I've made great, continue to make great colleagues in athletic training. Josh Yellen being one of them. He and Josh and I presented a million years ago at Student CETA. Had a chance to work with him and of course Ray Castle, and so through their encouragement and some other folks, I have pursued a athletic training, a faculty athletic training position at Southeastern Louisiana University. So I'll be starting there in the fall. I'll be an assistant professor at Southeastern in the athletic training program, working with Chad Dufresne and Aaron Karch and Dr. Hebert there in the department. And so I'm pretty excited about that. I'll be sad to leave Varsity Sports because I have great friends and colleagues here. But this is really a great opportunity at Southeastern that I'll have a chance to do coming this fall. And you may even have a chance to get over to Houston, you know, see you guys over that way. Josh is always encouraged me to come over and talk to the folks at the Houston Marathon and Ironman Texas and you know, try to talk to them about some things and some things that I've learned through the years. And so there'll be some great opportunities and collaboration going on. And so, yeah, so that's my kind of big news. You know, I have a lot of good friends that have kind of helped me through this that, you know, I'm certainly thankful for, Charity Bryan, Dr. Karam, Casey White, I can't help mention them. And so these are folks that have kind of helped kind of guide me as well for this opportunity in the fall. And so I'm really excited to kind of get back in athletic training education. I think with the transition to the master's program, there's a lot of great things that are going to happen in our profession. And Southeastern's got a great athletic training tradition starting way back when with Ronnie Barnes, one of the first program directors here. I'm just kind of happy to kind of help continue some of that forward. So yeah, that's pretty exciting for me.
All right. RunDocRyan.com. You can contact Ryan. So that's a great way to get a hold of him since now he's transitioning jobs soon. So check him out. RunDocRyan. Ryan, I know you got to go, so you can go ahead and sign off. Thanks for being part of us.
Thanks, Jeremy. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. If you want to check out sportshealth.com/SMB, then you can register to win a gift card there. The password or the keyword for April is Frio, because my friend Robbie McFarlane is got some really cool units at friohydration.com. So sportshealth.com/SMB, enter the password Frio. I know Israel down there at in the valley. I'm going to meet up with him at Spats. He's won twice, so he's already got two different gift cards from School Health and gotten to buy some cool toys just because he's a listener of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. So again, the password for April is Frio. Check that out. And then again, if you're going down to Spats, hit me up. This episode, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/runDocRyan. Again, that's runDocRyan, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/runDocRyan. And this is the first of our listener spotlight episodes, and we're going to continue with those. So thanks for joining us. I am Jeremy Jackson on Twitter. I'm PHS Sports Med. So there's two S's there, PHS Sports Med. For Jeremy and my students that were here to help out today, Ariana, say goodbye.
Bye.
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 That is a wrap.